Good evening. I'm sure glad to be here, and I feel a great need of the Lord's presence with me this evening, so I ask that y'all pray for me. I have a very simple but very heavy burden this evening for what he had had for me to bring out. That song we just sang, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Jesus. There's a song that says there's just something about that name. And that's the thought I have tonight. I grew up this way. I think it was mentioned this morning, kind of being mechanical about going down for prayer. And we can get that way with a lot of things. We can get a little wooden with how we handle a lot of our relationship with the Lord. But one thing that I can say that I have done personally is sometimes lose sight of the precious name of Jesus. And we're told in the scriptures that he has a name above all names. And there is power in the name. A lot of times we think of, oh, there's power in the blood of Jesus. And there is, don't get me wrong. There's power in the blood. But there's a lot of scriptures that talk about power in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus has power. And there's ties, the name of Jesus, that go all the way back. And if you, I think before the end of the year, have a message on the name Emmanuel, which is one of my favorite names that was attributed to the Lord, of God with us. And you can see, you can trace all the way from the beginning of time to now how God has longed and endeavored to be God with me and with you. So I appreciate the song this evening, and I appreciate the Lord's dealings with me, and I ask that y'all, for y'all's attention. And any of y'all that were here Wednesday night, we talked, a little bit of a mention was made about dimensions and different dimensions and things and how difficult sometimes things are. I guess I feel a little bit like someone who's trying to understand that and trying to maybe describe a fourth dimension here, but I ask for your patience. I do have quite a bit of reading. One of the questions I had when the Lord was bringing this to my mind, because there's a song that's relatively popular right now, and I was listening to it the other day, and I'm just going to read one of the verses in the chorus. It says, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, because your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. So I was thinking about that, like speaking the name of Jesus, that just, how does that, just speaking the name of Jesus, how does that drive anything away? How does that fix anything? And so I started studying a little bit more about the name of God, the name of Jesus. And, you know, Isaiah 9 and 6 is one of the very well-known scriptures that talks about the different names of Jesus. The Mighty Father, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor. There's different names, and I found through my life that he has been that to me. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, sorry. Prince of Peace, to me, he has been every one of those. He has been an everlasting God. He's been the Prince of Peace to me. He has been a Father to me. He has been that, all those things. But there's more to that. And I'm hoping we can grasp that tonight. And Isaiah, well, let's turn first to Isaiah 45. I want to go there, kind of lay the groundwork. Isaiah 45, I believe, verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? This is the Lord talking. Who has declared this from the ancient time. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And notice that this is all caps. So the King James, when the translators translated the King James Bible, they chose to take Yahweh, which, to be honest, there's a lot of speculation of whether or not that's even how the name was pronounced, because the only thing in Hebrew was YHWH. They didn't even put the vowels in there, so we're not exactly sure if Yahweh is the way it was said, but that's where the name Jehovah comes from, too. But when it's all caps Lord, that's the name it's talking about, is Yahweh, which that means, Yahweh means he who is, which is where I am comes from. That when God said, I am, and that covers everything. It's he who is Yahweh. Have not I the Lord, which he identifies himself there, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. So, the Lord, and there's other places earlier than this, but he laid down the groundwork of, I'm God, I am Jehovah, I am Yahweh, I'm the great I am that I identified myself as back in Exodus, and I believe he even mentioned that, you know, Abraham and the others, they didn't know me by this name. They knew me, but by my name Jehovah, I was not known unto them. So he's revealing himself more and more throughout the scriptures. He says, every knee shall bow. So you go read in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. I'm going to just read that real quick. I have that right here written down. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So, we have here Paul making a tie all the way back to Isaiah, which they had the book of Isaiah at that time, and he was making a tie with Jesus and identifying Jesus is not only the Son of God, he is Yahweh. He is the great I am. And that's where, to me, there's been times where I look at that, I say, you know, Jesus is a Son of God. And it's hard sometimes for my mind to comprehend how that all works together. But whenever you, it's a beautiful thought when you start thinking, my God, the great I am, he describes himself, who hath told it from old, from ancient time, there is no God beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And further down he says, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. The very one we see in John 1 where he says the word was with God and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among men. The one that spoke this into existence. He was at the beginning, I am. So he always has been, he always will be. So the great I am is the one who spoke this world into existence. He's the one who came up with, let's make an earth and people and put people on it and develop and let's have a plan for we're gonna make a garden and we're gonna put everything they need there. But we're gonna make it where they have to choose to love me. I'm gonna make it that way. So the one who did that, who created all those things, and the one who put all these things together, as we read the amazing things that have been done throughout the scriptures, the Exodus and all the things that had to happen for that to work out, all the things that he did for Abraham, you go through the scriptures, the miracles that he did, the mighty works of God that we have seen throughout the scriptures, the very one who made all those things happen and made those things possible is the one who came down as a baby, walked on this earth and lived life so he could experience like I did. Yahweh, I am, lived on this earth for me. And that's one of those things that it took me a second to think about that. Say, Jesus, that's the name that we know him as. And how accustomed have I become to just saying the name of Jesus? Not taking it in vain, obviously. But how accustomed have I been to the name Jesus? How accustomed have I gotten, just like it was mentioned this morning, that we sometimes can kneel down and go to prayer at church service and just know someone's going to pray, and we can kneel down and have our nose in the back of the bench and then hear the word amen, get up and know that somebody might sing a special, they may not, then we're going to have a message, and then we're going to dismiss, and then we're going to go to our car, we'll probably stand, talk a little bit, and we'll go home, come back. How often have we got that way? How often do we get to where it's real easy to become kind of wooden about the reading the scriptures? And we can do the same thing with the name, the precious name of Jesus. And it's put a new urgency on my mind to think about that. Say, Lord, when I speak of your name, I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak. The ancient Jews wouldn't even say the name Yahweh. That's why they would call him Adonai, because they didn't even want to use that name, because they were afraid of taking his name in vain, because, you know, the commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. They were afraid to even say the name because they didn't want it to be in vain. And I'm not saying we become, you know, fanatical, but that we are careful that we don't lose track of what the name of Jesus is. It is the description of the Most High God. They are one and the same. And Jesus himself, that's in John, I believe, where the Pharisees came to him and they were kind of arguing with him, and basically they came and said, well, what about Abraham? What about him? And so Jesus talked a little bit about Abraham, and then I think they had, let's go, I think it's in toward the, I think it's the 8th chapter. They're trying to get Jesus. I think it's in the 8th. Yeah, this is when he actually got pretty straight with them. Let's see. If anybody sees it, let me know. I think it's the 8th chapter. Yeah, so up in the chapter before, previously in this chapter, he had spoke pretty plainly to the Pharisees. And so then he said something about, he mentioned, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So then they responded to him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that got them riled up. That's when they thought they were going to stone him, and it just says that he passed through the midst of them. I don't know how that all worked out, and apparently they didn't see that it was necessary to let us know exactly how that worked out. But he to their face, told them, you got it all wrong. Before Abraham even was, I am. I am. Jesus himself identified himself as the I am, as Jehovah God, as Yahweh. And I hope my burden is coming through, that we don't lose track of who Jesus really was, that his name is above all names. It's easy sometimes to get, I'm going to be real honest here, sometimes it's real easy to kind of get a little messy with the whole idea of the Trinity and how that all works, and you know that you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have the Holy Spirit, but they're all one. And so in your mind you can separate and say, okay, well, there's God the Father over here, there's God the Son over here, and there's God the Spirit over here. That's not how it works. They all are one. You have God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all in one. They're three in one. And they are, I am. I am that I am. I have always been, I always will be, before Abraham was, I am. And that's doesn't sound grammatically correct, but when you think about it, it starts blowing your mind, just like when you try to understand the fourth dimension. You think, wait, I am. How does that even, because he was, and always has been, and he is, and he always will be, and our brains stop working that way. We can't comprehend. How does that even work? But that's the truth of it, that Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Father, and God the Spirit are one and the same. And they are I Am. They are Jehovah. They are Yahweh. They're Jesus. They're God. They're Lord. They're Adonai. Wonderful Father. Everlasting. I get them mixed up. Prince of Peace. They are all of those things. Emmanuel. God with us. And then if that doesn't convince you there, let's go to Hebrews 1 and 8. This is something that it's a beautiful passage where God himself addresses his son. Now, just listen to what this says. This is where he's talking about Jesus being higher than the angels. And he said, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers the flame of fire? But unto the son he saith, thy throne, O God. This is God the Father speaking to God the Son. God the Father calls his Son God. He says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, calls him again, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. God the Father spoke the word. How did creation happen? By God's word. What is God's word? Is that not the Son? It says the word became flesh and dwelt among men. The word and the spirit and God work together as one unit, as the I Am, a name above all names. It's a name that it is to be held in reverence, in awe. Should we become so fearful that we can't even speak the name? I don't believe so. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of God that we can speak that name and let people know that Jesus loves you. You are one of his. He wants you. Someone might be a little confused if you walk to him and say, the I Am loves you. Yahweh, for us to speak the name of Jesus. There's nothing wrong with that. But I will say, it put new light in my eyes of the seriousness of that commandment of thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That his name is precious. And his name is to be revered and to be honored. And his name truly is a name above all names. I saw it written somewhere, and I love the way it was put out. It says, the spirit world, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, the spirit world, which that exists, it exists in another realm that we can't see, but it's there, and it's here right now, I can promise you. There's spirits here. There's angels here. The devil is probably, if he's not in here, he's trying to get in. It says, the spirit world stands at attention when a child of God speaks the name of Jesus. Not when someone speaks it in vain, not when someone speaks it out of irreverence, but when a child of God in reverence, in humility, in awe, speaks the name of Jesus, the spirit world has to stand at attention. Whenever Jesus came to, I think it was the man that was living among the tombs, when he walked up and the spirits recognized, said, what do we have to do with you? Why are you here? Are you here to torment us? They know the name. They know the name of our God. Whenever we speak the name of Jesus, I believe that's what that song is talking about. I want to speak the name of Jesus. Whenever I'm in trouble, I can just say, Jesus. And I've done that before, where that's all I can pray I don't know if y'all have ever been there or not, but are you literally, you can just say Jesus. And you can't manufacture it. I will say this. You can't manufacture it just by saying the name Jesus. But when you're saying it, Lord, out of reverence and awe, there's something about that name. There's power in that name. There's salvation. There's scriptures that say, my notes got messed up. I think it's Acts 4 and 12, where it says, above all, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The blood of Jesus, yes, we're saved by the blood of Jesus, but we're also saved by the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, the great I am, saves us by the power of his name and the blood of Jesus. And whenever we speak the name out of reverence, God listens. He hears his name when we speak it. He hears us cry out to him. He's not going to hear it out of irreverence and in vain. Well, he hears it, but he's not going to, the response isn't going to be what you want. The power, and we talked about the power that's almighty power that God has. That power is in his name when we speak it. What does it say? Isn't there a scripture to say the devils also know and tremble? Or there's a verse somewhere that says, isn't it? If someone knows it, they can quote it. But basically it says that the devils also know. They're aware of who he is. And they also tremble. The spirit world knows the name of Jesus. There's some scripture. This is what I want to read, a couple of passages. And if y'all don't mind, I've got them written down because I want to read them all in one group because they flow together so well. I'm not trying to add to the Bible or anything, but the passages are Ephesians 1 and 17 through Ephesians 1 and 23. And then I'm going to read Colossians 1 and 15 through 1 and 23. Then I'm going to read Philippians 2 and 5 through 2 and 11. And I'm going to read it all the way through. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is the prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by all things consist. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, thanked the Lord, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He chose, the great I Am chose, to be like me, as in the flesh, be a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that I'm so full right now of what the Lord has been revealing to me with his name. The fact that he, being found in the fashion of a man. Now, put this into perspective. When God created the earth, it was very good. There was no death. Death was a result of man turning against him. Philippians 2 and 8, it says, and he became obedient unto death. And I've seen, heard it read and written, and then I've heard, I think Brother Ed actually preached it one time. There's some thought about when Jesus wept whenever Lazarus had died. I think there was some scriptures around that era in that verse that made it seem like there was I think his spirit groaned, I think is what it said, that the very presence of death is anti-God. Death and God don't go together. And when Jesus was faced with the enemy, the very thing that he was there to save us from. Yes, we're still going to die the earthly death, but we don't have to die the spiritual death. And it's been said that part of the reason why Jesus groaned in his spirit and he wept was, yes, out of sympathy for Mary and Martha, but also that he was facing the very thing. Like, death took my friend. The thing that is a consequence of sin that came on this earth, my earth, I was there. He said, as the scripture said, he was there. He was there when they created. It was all very good. There was no death. And then Satan came in, and death then was on the earth. That the great I Am, the Word of God, the Son of God, was willing to become obedient to death. The consequence for the very thing, it's one of those things that when I start thinking about it, I say, Lord, I don't know what else to say except thank you. I can't, thank you doesn't even seem strong enough. Thank you doesn't cover it. I don't even, so why should I not give him everything? The one who created this, who made an earth that was very good, made a creation that was very good, and then sin corrupted it to where now death is introduced, and he's become obedient to the thing that's a consequence of our actions. That speaks love that I don't even know how to comprehend, that kind of love. But I'm so thankful for it. And I don't even know how to say, I thank you isn't enough. The words thank you don't even attempt to cover the way I feel in my heart when I think about that God, the great I am, became obedient to death for me. That the one who has a name above all names, the one who, the firstborn of every creature, all things, by him all things consist. He could have called an end whenever they messed up in the Garden of Eden, death came upon the earth and sin was on the earth. He could have said, you know what, I'm done. That's not at all how I had it planned. All things, by him all things consist. All things are happening right now because of him. He could say, I'm done. Whenever, just say the book of life, he could say, that's it, I'm done. Just stop. We're done with this. He could have done that, and he can do it at any moment. By him, all things consist and have their being. Thank the Lord that he was willing, knowing who he was. He was a man. He had human emotions. He chose to have the human emotions. Knowing who he was, that he was willing to go through with it. Lord, help me that I don't want to take for granted the name of Jesus, the name above all names. By him, we consist and have our being. What's the other? That we should have the exceeding greatness of his power to the usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, which he did become obedient to death, but that's not where it ended. He then conquered death by rising again. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is God. Christ is I am. He is Yahweh. And they all three are I am and Yahweh, a name above all names. Y'all pray for me. I don't want to ever take for granted the fact that I have the privilege to call out his name and he hears me. The fact that I have the privilege to reach out to the one who spoke this all into existence. I don't understand why. I don't understand why he gives me that privilege, other than I know he loves me. I don't understand why he loves me so much. I don't understand why. But I know he does, and I'm so thankful for it. Y'all pray for me.